We want to thank every single person who's joined us through television, through the web. Today we're talking about total trust in a total God. And I believe God is going to speak to your life. God is going to speak to what's going on right there in your world. So church, why don't we clap our hands for all of those who have joined us through television. Thanks a lot for being with us. Total trust in a total God. What is trust? What is trust? Simply, trust means to be assured. It means reliance. It means having confidence. It means being able to depend on something. It means certainty. Total trust means there's a certainty. There's an entire certainty. There's an absolute certainty. It means strong faith. It also means pure, I like this, and true belief. Pure and true belief. Total, complete, entire, pure belief. That's what trust means. It means pure belief. That's simple. Now, the second question I'd ask you is, how is trust developed? How is trust developed? It makes sense that if God is wanting you and I to walk in it, if God requires it of our life, if God desires it of our life, then how do you obtain trust? How do you find it? Where do you go to get trust if it's something that can change your life? Then the answer would be, trust is developed over time. Trust is developed over time. It takes time. It's a process. It's one brick at a time. That's how trust happens. Trust never happens overnight. It's crazy to expect someone to trust you when you first meet them. It's not going to happen. Look at the deep relationships in your life. The reason why you trust them today is there's been a what? A provenness to it. It's been proven over time. You can trust them. I have men in my life who speak into my life. Brother Wayne Austin, Jim Rentz, Dave Olerkin, Gary Simons. I've known them. The reason why I can listen to their counsel, the reason why I can depend on them, the reason why I can rely on them is not because I met them yesterday. The reason why is because I have 20 years of a trail of trust. And in that trail of trust, there's been a provenness that has taken place day in and day out. And so when I have something in the future, I'm looking at my life and I'm scanning the horizon. If I look to someone to help me or someone to speak into my life, I know I can go to Brother. I know I can go to Brother Wayne and he's going to give me some good advice or God's going to use him. Why? Because there is a provenness. It's like that in a relationship. Dylan and I met, and how did she trust me? How did we let trust grow in our relationship? You know how to. You watch one another. You watch and you see. And there's a consistency that takes place. There's a pattern of trust. There's a character. There's an attitude that's built day in and day out and day in and day out. And then all of a sudden, guess what? When something happens, you can trust in a relationship. Blossoms. As you risk, as you find something to connect to, one step at a time, trust happens like that. My daughter's 15 years old. She got a driver's permit, and so she wanted to start driving. And so over the last 3 or 4 months, we've been driving a little, and it has increased my prayer life tremendously. It's hard to believe. I'm sitting in the passenger seat. My daughter is driving. I mean, my firstborn, and we started out in the driveway. I want to drive. Well, just go sit in the car. Just go sit in it. Imagine you're driving. We backed up, drove around the driveway, had a circle, drove around the circle, drove down the street together. I sat in the passenger. She sat and drove. Then we drove around the subdivision. I drove her up here to the church, let her drive around the parking lot, hit staff cars. It's okay. Not a big deal. They work for me. It's okay. But you know, what was I doing? Every mile she drove, I was getting more convinced that she can drive. It was being proven. Then we went out on the street, drove a little bit, drove down Highland, drove at night, drove when nobody was on the road. The other day, we've been driving in traffic. I'm sitting in the passenger seat. She's in the driver's seat. Then I go and pick her up from school at rush hour, 5 o'clock. Hand her to the key. Says, time to drive home with a lot of traffic. I sat in the seat and began to pray. I'm praying. He's yelling at his daughter. I'm praying. Oh, God. driving, live driving. And so there's going to be a day. It's going to be soon. She's going to turn 16 just soon, a couple months. I'm going to walk out in front of our house. She's going to stand. I already replayed it in my mind. I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand. I'm going to hand her the key. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to lay hands on her. I'm going to anoint her with oil. I'm going to blow the shofar. I'm going to hand her the key. She's going to take that key. She's going to get her Mazda because we Mazda people. And she's going to drive down our little street. And I'm going to stand at the end of the driveway. And I'm going to watch her turn the corner where I no longer see her. Then I'm going to run and go get in my car and follow her. How many dads in the house? Where you at? I'm going to watch her drive. But for real, she'll drive off. But I trust her. You know why I trust her? Because 1 mile at a time, she's proven to be trustworthy. She's proven to be trustworthy. Proven to be trustworthy. You and I, every single day, have a choice. Will we trust God? I'm here to tell you that He's proven Himself trustworthy in your life. One day, 1 mile at a time. There's a great story in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13 through 14. It is the story of a people unlike, I believe, any other people in the Bible. That firsthand rode with God. Firsthand, they were an eyewitness of the supernatural power of God. They saw it firsthand. And because of fear and unbelief that they allowed to slip into their life, because of change and transition, because of some unknown things, because of some things about the future, they chose to put God's trust on trial. And that was a huge mistake. Matter of fact, they ended up losing their life because they chose to put God's trust on trial. It's found in Numbers chapter 13. We'll read some of these scriptures. It's about the children of Israel. The children of Israel were enslaved by the Egyptians. God shows up, says, "This isn't right. This is not what I promised." He selects Moses and Aaron. They go and they say to Pharaoh, "Set my people free." God, through His power, brings the most powerful nation on the planet to its knees. And Pharaoh to his knees. And over again, matter of fact, 10 plagues, God sent to the Egyptians and sit on the land of Egypt. And God showed up in a great way and set the people free. They left Egypt in a bang, and they went into the wilderness, and God was with them. They ended up at a Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh with all his people. He got mad about it. He chased the children of Israel, backed them up to the Red Sea. God sends the power down, parts the Red Sea. The children of Israel cross over on dry ground. When they get to the other side, the Egyptians follow in pursuit, and God lets the water down on them, and the whole Egyptian army is drowned in the Red Sea. And they watch it. The Bible says that the soldiers, drowned soldiers, washed up on the shore. God took care of those people. And so now they get to the edge of the promised land. Remember, the promised land was the goal. They get to the edge of the promised land. And here's what Moses says. Here's what the Lord says. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "Send men to explore, to spy out the land, the promised land of Canaan, which I'm giving this to the children of Israel. Send a man from every tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." You ought to underline that word leader. They were leaders within the children of God. So they went out, check out the land. God's been promising them now for hundreds of years. It's yours. I promised it to Abraham. I'm going to establish a great nation where I'll make myself known. This is your land. Now, there are people living on your land, but it's still your land. And I'm sending you to it. I've set you free. You've seen my power in Egypt. It's been strong in Egypt. So let's go get that land. Send out them boys. Check it out. Check it out. It's a good day. They went out. For 40 days, they checked out the land that God had given them. They show back up with clusters of grapes, and they bring this report to the children of Israel. After 40 days, they gathered everybody together. When they came back from the wilderness, they said, they've been in the wilderness. Now they come to the edge of the promised land. They told them, "We went to the land that you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit." This is amazing. Exactly what God said is true. But then they start heading downhill. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Cities are fortified. They're very large. We saw the descendants of Anak there, which were big people. The Amalekites dwell there. Hittites, Amorites, the Canaanites. They're all there. And so you can see this negative and doubt starts creeping in. How many of us doubt will knock at the door? Negative will try to visit. Negative and doubt starts visiting. Well, there's a guy by the name of Caleb. Caleb and Joshua. They were part of the 10 spies. They were two among the 10, the 12. And so the Bible says that Caleb said, shh, quieted the people before Moses. Said, whoa, 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 whoa. Let us go at once and take possession. We're well able to overcome it. Well, I know we saw all that together, but I'm telling you right now, we got this. God is good. We're going to inherit this land. Let's get the fight on. Somebody go punch him in the mouth. Ready to roll, ready to roll. But it says they gave the children of Israel a bad report. The men who had gone up said, no, we're not able to go against the people who are, they're stronger than us, Caleb. No, you did you see them? They're big. We can't go up against them. I mean, we've seen the spies. We've been there, but I'm going to tell you right now, those people, they will devour you. Look what it says in verse 32. Devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. They were giants. Verse 33, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight. And so we are in our sight. There's just no way. We're like grasshoppers. They're that big. We cannot take this land. 10 people say no. 2 people, Caleb, say yes. But look what happened. Trust goes on trial before the people. The people heard that. Look what they did. The Bible says, this is crazy. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. All the people wept out loud all night long. That's a long cry party. All night long, everybody, 3 million people started crying. Everybody's crying. Oh! And it's contagious. All the children of Israel begin to complain. See, once you start crying, better be careful because the next thing is complaining. All the children of Israel began to complain against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. If only we would have died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall on the sword that our wives and our children can become victims? You cry, you complain, then you get victim mentality. Would it have been better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Let's overthrow Moses and Aaron. We're going back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on the face of all the assembly at the congregation and the children of Israel. These 3 million people stand there, Moses and Aaron think, you guys are getting ready to be in bad trouble. This is not going to be good for you. So they begin to pray. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And then they spoke to the congregation, the children of Israel. The land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us a land, give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Don't do that. Nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread. We're not grasshoppers. They are our bread. I love that. They are bread. This is easy. The giants will be good for us. Their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Don't you remember that? Do not fear them. When the congregation heard kind of them rallying the two, let's do it. Come on. The Bible says the congregation said to stone them. Kill them. Kill Joshua and Caleb, Moses and Aaron. Let's kill them all. They picked up stones. And the glory of the Lord showed up. And said, okay, if you're going to put trust on trial, then here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Judge showed up. He said, that's how it's going to be. If you're going to put my trust on trial, then I'm going to annihilate you. And we're going to start over with Moses, Aaron, Joshua and Caleb. I'm going to etch-a-sketch the whole planet. You're not in the picture. I'm going to start drawing this thing out with Moses, Aaron, Joshua and Caleb because you put my trust on trial. And you thought you were the jury and you're not the jury. There is no jury. I'm the judge. That's what God did. And Moses heard that. Lord, please don't do that. Moses interceded. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned. I won't do it. I'll finish up with these verses. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. And here's the verse. Here's the verse I want you to remember. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, they've seen my glory and have put me to test 10 times. 10 times you've put me on trial and you've not heeded my voice. They will not see the land that I have given my people. But my servant Caleb, he had a different spirit. He's going to inherit it all. We are living in a time where you and I need to have a different spirit than doubt and negative and unbelief. We need to have a spirit of faith. We need to have a spirit of trust in the days that we're living in. What did God say? They've seen my hand over and over and over and over again, but yet they refuse to believe me. See, every day you and I have an opportunity. We get up in the morning, we brush our teeth, we drink our coffee, we tie our shoes, we put on our work suit, we put on our uniform, we put on our work clothes, and then we have a choice to put on trust. Every day. We get up in the morning, get our shoes ready, go out to the car, we're headed out to the world. It's a big world out there. And we have a choice to put on trust every single day of our life. God says, trust me with your life. Trust me with the future. Trust me with the economy. Trust me with your career change. Trust me in the classroom. Trust me with those kids. Trust me with your marriage. As you walk through the day, put your trust in me. As you look at your future, as you look at what is the second quarter going to be like? How will the year end? What will it be like, my marriage next year? How will we get through this? How will we walk through this? What will happen to my son? What will go on with my business? As you look at the future, God says, walk in trust. Enter into it with trust. And the reason why you can enter into the future with trust is because of the trust that has followed you in your life. How do I know my marriage is going to make it? Look at how I have taken care of you. How do I know my kids are going to make it? Look at how trust is following you. Don't put your trust on trial. Look at the trail of trust. Look at the trail of trust in your life. I just don't know if I'm going to make it. You're here. I just don't know how financially. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Did you eat Fruit Loops this morning? Did you have a pair of shoes? I bet somebody had like 2 blouses in their closet. Some of you actually have 2 cars in your driveway. That's a lot. You made it. You're here. Fear, unbelief, negative. See, here's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants you and I to live in trust amnesia. Trust amnesia. Where when we face something, we don't remember all that God did. We just remember all of the pain, all of the hurt, all of the loss. I'm here to tell you that your life is better than you think it is. I'm here to tell you that God's been better to you than the devil's been bad to you. I'm here to tell you that there's more good happening in your life than bad happening in your life. I'm here to tell you, on your best day, think about it. On your worst day, think about it. On your average day, think about it. Just think about the trail of trust. Look at your life. Look back at your life. What was God saying to the children of Israel? Go into the promised land. But they're big giants. Trust me. How can I trust you? Look at the trail. Look at Pharaoh. He bloated like a fish. Look at him. Plague all over him. Drown in the Red Sea. Look back at the trail. The Egyptians are dead. They're gone. You can trust me. Well, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Look behind you. Wow. God, in 2001, I don't know if I was going to graduate out of college. Matter of fact, I didn't graduate out of college. But look at the job I got in 2003. And at that job in 2003, I met Mr. Perfect. He loved me so much. Now I'm married. I got two children. I get to stay home while my husband goes to work. Do P90X. I love it. But in 2001, I thought my life was worried. It was horrible. Boy done broke up with me. Nobody loved me. Get no emails. Get no phone calls. Look, I got my man. I mean, look back at your life. God. Boy, in 2004, doctors said, your body's deteriorating. You won't make it. I thought I had a year to live. Now it's 2010. I'm alive. I am alive. In 1997, we stood at Lady of the Lake Hospital. They didn't know if we were ever going to bring our daughter home. They said something was happening to her lungs and her heartbeat was irregular. We wondered if we'd ever bring her home. God. Now she's playing volleyball. And she just is so full of life. Look back at the trail of trust. God has been good to you. Don't forget what God's done in your life. In your darkest moment, in your most depressed moment, look at how God showed up. The enemy is good at telling you everything God did not do. Start telling him everything that God did do. How God has taken care of you. He wants us to have trust amnesia. Get up in the morning, put your trust on, and roll out in life. Every day, put your trust on. No matter what you face, I can trust God. I can trust God. Well, that's a giant. I can trust God. Now, I want to finish up. There are three observations. They're just quick ones. They're real quick. There's some observations. I just want to say them, and then I want you to extract something as I say them. They're not short. They're long. But I want you to grab something as I say them to you. Three observations about trust that I learned from Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14, that I believe can reveal something to you and I about our life right now. Here's the first observation that I find out about this, is that when you read this story, you notice how the doubters and the haters begin to sing out and how easily fear was spread among the people. 10 people began to sing the chorus of doubt and unbelief, and how easily everybody joined in. They lost their perspective. Doubt is a slippery slope. And if you're not careful, when you start walking in doubt, you'll start slipping into negative. And then your emotions get involved. And their emotions got caught up in unbelief. And they forgot about God's character. Totally. And everybody started singing the chorus of, can't do it. We're going to die. It's horrible. I don't like this. This is not good. I felt better yesterday. I liked it in Egypt. This is not good. It's changed. I don't know what's going to happen. Everybody jumped in. And all this energy towards unbelief started happening. What would have happened if they'd have taken all the energy towards unbelief and put that energy towards belief? You know what would have happened? They would have inherited the promised land then, not 40 years later. Because trust will bring you into a promised land. Doubt will lead you into the wilderness. Here's the second observation I make about this. And I think this is so important. How when God led the children of Israel out, how many miracles they saw. He led them, fed them, provided for them, and even protected them. They got to the edge of the promised land and said no. After witnessing so many miracles, they decided to turn from trust that the promised land was the goal. They forgot that the promised land was the goal, and they stopped the trust train. Stopped it right there. Said, no, I'm not going to do that. Here's what I want to encourage you with. If you remember anything today, what I want you to leave with is this right here. If God brought you this far, why would he let you down now? Can I have a better amen at 10 o'clock? If God brought you this far, he's not going to let you down now. You can trust him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It's hard to be taken serious with the sun on me right now. So you look at me like, he's still wearing it. But you remember this. I want you to remember, trust. Here's a third observation. We'll finish up because I think it's so important, church. If there was ever a group that had clear vision that God could do something, God can and God will, it was these families. But because of the fear and because of everything that they did, they made poor choices. And because it was so evident that God had taken care of them, that's why the judgment was so harsh. All those people who did not believe died. They never saw the promised land. Some of them died immediately. I want you to think about that. You know what that teaches us? With great opportunity comes great responsibility. With great opportunity comes great responsibility. Can I tell you something? You and I have the opportunity of a lifetime. We have the Bible. We have church. We have prayer. We have Jesus. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will be responsible for it. We have truth. We know the Word of God. Some of you have experienced the power of God in your life. Some of you can look back on your life and you can remember a time where the power of God helped you. You can see it. You can see a defining time in your trail where God Almighty intervened. And you look back and say, I know God helped me through that. It was God Almighty. You would argue somebody. I mean, you get up in their face. Oh, look, no, let me tell you. God showed up in my life. God ain't real. No, God is real. I'm telling you, God's not real. You better get up out of my face. I know God is real. There are people in this room. Guess what? There's a responsibility to that. A great responsibility when you've seen the hand of God. When you look back at your life and there is a trail of trust. Then I'm not going to put your trust on trial. I'm going to keep walking in it. Can I have an amen? Ugh. I'm going to be leasing this out. So if you'd like to go to work tomorrow, if some of you need it right now in your life and you want to wear this to work tomorrow, I'll let it go for like a shrimp dinner. 3-piece and a biscuit. I'm easy. So if you want to wear that to the boardroom, wear that to the plant, go work out in it. Just let people know you're trusting God. You never know. Got to trust God. Even when you don't know, even when the future's unknown, even when there's uncertainty, even when there's doubt all around, even when there's negative all around, even when there's unbelief all around, I want to encourage you, trust God. He will not fail you. Amen. Anybody notice that slide? Trinity Christian Center. Trinity Christian Center. 10 years ago, that was the name of this church. Trinity Christian Center. We started our church name, Trinity Christian Center. That's how we started out. TCC, baby. TCC. Loved it. Trinity Christian Center. God blessed it. In those early, I mean, God helped us. We started just a handful of people. God blessed us 6-7 years of being Trinity Christian Center. Started reaching this community, Trinity Christian Center. About six and a half years into it, I just felt in my heart, I changed the name of the church. And then I talked about it. That was a God idea. One morning I came to work, had a staff meeting, we were going to go plan some events. I said, hey, I got an idea. Just a few on staff those days, a few leaders. I said, hey, I got an idea. We need to change the name of the church. What? Yeah, we're going to change the name of the church. Never heard of that. Yes, we're Trinity Christian Center. And I'm going to, what do you want to name it, Pastor? I want to change it to Healing Place Church. I get no amens. Not a one. Everybody in that room said, that's not a good idea, Pastor. It's not a God idea, and it ain't a good idea, as a matter of fact. We're Trinity Christian Center. We've been established. Everybody knows us as Trinity Christian Center. That is church suicide. Bad idea. So nobody agreed. Everybody thought it was a bad idea. I went and found another group to talk to. That's what you do. That group said it was a horrible idea. Every group I talked to about changing the name of our church, we are Trinity Christian Center. We'll always be Trinity Christian Center. It's our name. So I didn't change the name of church. Let it, okay, whatever. I guess it was about 6-8 months later. I was up praying one night up in a little loft. I went to pray because we were having some hard days. And church was kind of flat and we were getting ready to open up a new building. We were getting ready to expand this facility and I felt like the preaching was bad and it wasn't the singing because I'm married to the worship leader so I couldn't complain about the worship. But I was blaming on other people and I was up one night just saying, Lord, what's wrong? Have you lifted your call off of me? Have I lost my bird? Does somebody else need to lead this? and what is wrong? What is going on around here? And the Lord spoke to my heart that night. After about an hour, I felt like the Lord said to me, there is sin in the camp. There's sin in your church. Who is it? There's doubt in your church. There's unbelief in your church. I felt like the Holy Spirit shared with my heart that night, there's a man pleaser in your church. Who are they? I'm going to go after them in the morning, bless God. You are. You're the man pleaser. You have no doubt. You have no trust. I told you to change the name of that church. And you let the pressure of everybody else shut it down. And that night I learned the lesson. Either God's going to lead or a man's going to lead. But it ain't going to be both. So I said, I don't want to be a man pleaser. I'd rather have nobody and be a God pleaser. I'd rather start a new church called Healing Place Church by myself than be a man pleaser, Lord. And so I called up a guy who did a graphics, told him, hey, we're opening up a new facility. We're opening up our new facility. It's a great day. And the Katinas were here. And after about a 30-minute guitar solo, as I stood here, waited on the stage, and I walked up on stage. Hey, it's great to see you. Great day to be alive. Look at our new facility. We just opened up our facility. It was half the size, so we expanded it. First time we ever had over 2,000 people in our church. It was the first time we ever broke 2,000. I was so excited. Whoa, it's amazing. Incredible. Hey, turn in your Bibles. Oh, by the way, we've been known as Trinity Christian Center for 7 years. Today, I've changed the name of our church to Healing Place Church. And they flipped the screen, and I said, glory to God. Turned to Ephesians. Went to preaching. Just went to preaching. Preached on through it. Man, I had ushers fainting. I had staff meeting falling out of their seat. I literally had people doing this right here. Oh, God. What has he done? I'm preaching. Angry. I got angry eyebrows. I had angry eyebrows all over the church. I got done with church. People even talked. I had people that I went to talk to, and they turned around and walked off. The next week around the staff, I had staff we went to. I had one lady looked at me, and she said this, you have ruined our church. No one will be here next week. This is the worst thing you've ever done as a pastor. Whoa. Change the name of church, Healing Place Church. Somebody showed up the next week. 6 weeks later, I was in Peru and got sick. Me and the doctors thought I had a real bad, tough situation. Everybody here got together and prayed. And guess what? I received healing. God did a supernatural work in my body. I was the first person that needed healing in a healing place. If you look back now, could you imagine being anything other than Healing Place Church? Can I tell you this? If the Holy Spirit told us to change it tomorrow, I hope to God we would. Because it's not about a name. It's not about a church. It's not about a service time. It's not about a building. It is about pleasing God with our life and living a life of total trust in Him. I don't trust my job. I don't trust the economy. I trust in the Lord. My trust is in God. How can you say that? I look behind me. I'm 45 years old, and I've seen 45 years of trust. I can tell you what. I can trust him the next 45 years. Amen.